Ernest, what's up? Look, I want to put you onto something that's been making waves in the personal finance world. If you've been relying on Mint to manage your finances, I got some news that might startle you at first. Mint is no more. But hold on, because every cloud has its silver lining, and in this case, that lining is Monarch Money. For those of us searching for a robust, user-friendly alternative, Monarch Money is stepping up to the plate. And from personal experience, it's hitting a home run. Let's get personal for a moment. Managing finances can be a maze of confusion, stress, and time consumption. Believe me, I've been there, jumping from one finance app to another, hoping to find that one platform that simplifies everything. Then came Monarch Money. Its ease of use, powerful features, and sleek design transformed my approach to managing finances. What truly sets Monarch apart for me, though, is its collaboration feature. With money being a top Discord trigger for many couples, the ability to seamlessly manage finances with my wife has been a game changer. No extra costs, just shared goals and clarity. But Monarch isn't just about managing your current finances, it's about building your future. Saving for that dream house, your wedding, or a once-in-a-lifetime vacation becomes not just a possibility, but a reality with Monarch's intuitive tools. It's no wonder the Wall Street Journal held it as the best app for savings growth. Monarch Money represents the next evolution in personal finance apps. It's an ad-free haven where your experience is the priority, constantly refined based on real user feedback. It's everything we've been asking for: intuitive, powerful, and relentlessly focused on user satisfaction. Now, for a bit more practicality, Monarch makes transitioning from Mint a breeze, ensuring you can bring all your tags and categories with you. Its intuitive design, customization options, and commitment to privacy and an ad-free experience make it stand out in the sea of competitors. Look, after trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's the top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/leisure. That's MONARCHMONEY.com/leisure for your extended 30-day free trial. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, quick question. How is your social battery doing right now? I'll be honest, mine is a bit on the low side. Maybe it's not setting enough boundaries or just a typical slowdown after our super hectic work schedule. It's so easy to overlook our social needs or overextend ourselves, isn't it? What's your ideal balance of socializing? And how do you recharge? Whether you find energy in crowds or need more time to yourself, understanding your social needs is crucial. I remember a time when I struggled to balance my social engagement with my personal downtime. Y'all know us, we're always outside. So what really helped me was learning to recognize my limits and prioritizing my well-being. I've heard plenty of my peers champion therapy as a great tool for gaining this kind of insight. It's not just for big life issues. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life by equipping you with the skills to manage your social energy effectively. So if you're considering therapy, why not check out BetterHelp? It's an entirely online service, making it incredibly convenient and adaptable to your lifestyle. Just start with a quick questionnaire and you'll be matched with a licensed therapist. And if you feel the need to switch therapists for any reason, you can do so at any time without any extra cost. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/earnyourleisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/earnyourleisure. Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over there now.
So now we're going to go into a very important topic for business, but not just business. Once again, I can't stress this enough. Salespeople have a bad reputation. Any type of salespeople, right? They feel like you're like pushy or you're taking advantage of somebody, but sales makes the world go round. Everything is being sold. If you buy groceries, somebody's selling that to you in one way or another. It's not a hard sell because you need to buy it, right? It might be a soft sell, but it's still a sell. So if you go to a job interview, you have to sell yourself. If you're trying to impress a mate, you have to sell yourself. Yeah, right? True. Like it's all sales. Yeah. It's all sales. So, all right. Obviously, as a car salesman and in the car industry, you have to master the art of selling if you're going to be good, right? So, can we talk about selling? Can we talk about some objectives, how to overcome them, and different things that you've seen in the industry?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the things like we talked about earlier was if your goal is to help somebody, It's a lot different than trying to sell somebody, right? So asking questions. You know, you've all heard this where people say, "Oh, sell me this pen," right? We've all heard that.
Right? After Wolf of Wall Street.
I've never heard the actual pitch when somebody said, you know, "Well, sell me this pen." They go, "Okay, do you need a pen or do you want to write a check, whatever?" I was on an interview once, and a guy, and a really cool guy who I love dearly, he's a dear friend of mine. One of the hardest interviews, he told me it was the hardest interview you ever gave anybody, and it was a lot of fun. And he turned to me, and this is before Wolf of Wall Street, and he said to me, "Hey, sell me this stapler." And he put it in front of me, and he handed me the stapler, and he looked at me, and I sat back, and I looked at the stapler. I started laughing. And I took the stapler, and I put it down. I said, "Let me ask you a question. Before I show you the stapler that I have, let me ask you a question about what you're going to be using the stapler for. How many pages are you stapling at a time? You're stapling 3 papers, 4 papers, or you're stapling 300 or 400 papers at a time? Because the stapler I have here may not be the right stapler for you." So I started asking questions to find out what it is he's looking to accomplish before I started selling him that stapler or that pen, right? So are you signing important documents? Are you just need something? Do you lose pens frequently, right? I'm not going to sell somebody a $500 pen if they're just known for selling, they're losing their pens frequently. I'm going to sell you a pack of pens for $500, right? So this way, if you lose them, it's okay, right? Or I'll sell you 2 packs for $250, right? Mm-hmm. So that's, to me, it's ask the questions up front that's going to help you help the customer. Find out what the customer wants. Let's say the customer is driving. You know, you want to ask them what they currently use the vehicle for. Who's in the vehicle? Somebody may say, "Well, I'm a real estate agent." Okay, do you show clients houses? Do you pick them up and take them? Yeah, I do. Okay, so is that person primed for a coupe or a car with a small back seat? Probably not. They may want an SUV or a larger sedan, right? So then you kind of just help guide them to what it is just options, and let them make the decision.
Yeah, I think that's very important because, so if anybody's not familiar, I'm a financial advisor. That's what I do for a living. So we learned early on, like I've been doing it for 11 years. So, but early on I had training, right? Hmm. And long story short, I see it happen a lot in my business, especially for new people that come in, right? Because it's commission-based. So you're hungry to make a sale, right? And you end up trying to sell somebody a product that they may or may not need, right? Mm-hmm. But you're doing what's in the best interest for you. You're not doing it what's in the best interest of somebody else. But exactly. And it comes across, right? Mm-hmm. So my thing is like, it's like going to the doctor. I can't subscribe medication without actually know what's going on.
Exactly.
So like the first meeting that I have, the first conversation that I have with my clients, I don't actually talk about any product at all because I don't know what's appropriate. I need to know what's going on exactly. First. Yeah. And then from there, if you need to buy something, you're going to sell yourself because once I explain the process and different things that may be beneficial to you, then you'll say, okay, yeah, I need to do this. Like yep. You need, so psychologically, when you know you need to do something, it's much easier than trying to convince somebody to exactly. Do something. Yeah. That's the biggest mistake I see with sales, especially like I said, young salespeople, people just getting in the business, is that they push.
Yeah, you don't have to
push.
Do that.
You can't push.
Yeah,
can't push.
I guess this question would be for both of you. When you see doubt in somebody, like, what's the step, right? Because I'm sure there come times in car salesmen and in your profession, for sure, there will be doubt and people aren't sure. What's the next technique?
So the way I look at it is if someone's not sure, right, if they have that doubt, it's because we haven't answered all the questions. And it may be a question that they don't know they have. And that's what you have to uncover the objections. So you're going to ask some questions that are going to lead in to the customer saying, "Hey, you know what? This is actually what the real issue is. It's the underlying issue that's holding them back."
Yeah. And for me, I never forget the most important thing. One of the most important things I learned early on is somebody told me about the hidden objection. Mm-hmm. The hidden objection is when they don't tell you.
Yeah.
People are very funny, right? As far as it's human nature, you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings. Mm-hmm. We're just ingrained like that, right? So this happens all the time outside of business too. You take a girl on a date, you don't hear back from her. She doesn't tell you that your breath stinks. That's why she doesn't want to go out with you again, right? She'll just
curve you.
Yeah, exactly, right? But there's a hidden objection. It happens all the time in sales where people don't express what really is holding them back. So that's up to you as a salesperson to get in the forefront of the hitting objection, right? So that's difficult because you don't know what it is, right? Yeah. But you got to kind of use your creativity and say, okay, it usually comes down to a few different things. Money is 90% of the time what the issue is, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody can't afford to pay for something, they won't tell you they can't afford to do it. They just won't do it. But and then they won't respond to your emails or your text messages. Yep. Yep. Instead of just being out front and just saying, look, right now I don't have enough money.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to feel embarrassed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's up to you to give them different options.
Well, what was he first saying?
So that's one of the things that's one of the things they teach you in sales. They always have three options.
Yep.
This is a very important.
Mm-hmm.
Three options. And if it's on paper, it should be color coded. Green, blue, red. Or red, blue, green. Red, blue, green. Because, reason being, red is a no-go. We're psychologically trained for that, right? So if you stop at red light, everything red is no.
Yeah, that's what teachers use to mark papers as well.
Blue is a very neutral color. Mm-hmm. And green is go. You want to do the highest priced item is green. The lowest priced item is red. And then the realistic, what they probably can afford, in the blue.
Hmm.
Nobody wants to do the lowest option. Nobody, psychologically, nobody ever wants to do the lowest. Nobody wants to be the dumbest person in the room. Yeah. Nobody wants to be the fattest. You're okay being the second.
Yeah, that's what you said, yeah. Right? Everybody's okay with being the second dumbest. You just don't want to
You're
be the
okay
dumbest.
Being the second dumbest person in the class.
Right.
You just don't want to be the dumbest person, right? You're okay buying the second, like somebody said this about the wine. Like when you go to a restaurant, the wine that sells the most is the second cheapest.
Hmm.
Because nobody wants to buy the cheapest wine.
No one wants to look like they can't afford it.
No, exactly. Yeah. So you buy the second cheapest.
Right.
You don't really break the bank. It's still in your price range and you feel good about yourself.
Yeah.
That's a trick for salespeople. It's all about positioning. You can sell anything if you position it correctly, mm-hmm. right? And you don't make people feel like they're going out of their budget. They're right in line. It's all about, you got to, you know, kind of stroke the ego. So I say that to say, when you give somebody options, that's a way to get out in front of the hidden objection. Because if the price is a hidden objection, it's like, okay, now I've given you three prices. One I know you definitely can do, one you probably should do, and one you really can't do. That's my take on it.
Yeah,
I never heard the color thing, but same thing with us. We give three options. And the other thing you want to do is, going back to certified pre-owned, if you're giving a customer on a lease or if you're showing a customer a finance on a vehicle or a pre-owned car and you hit them with a number, a lot of times the finance number is going to be a lot higher than a lease payment. So giving them an option, say, hey, I know you mentioned you want to finance, but just so you know, if you were to lease out a brand new car, this is what the payment would be. And sometimes they say, wait a minute, that payment's a lot lower than this finance option. And it gives them that flexibility to say, hey, yeah, that's really my target area.
Yeah.
You know, and asking questions, like you said, if you know what they're currently paying for their car, you kind of understand where they're okay being. So.
All right. So now that you've cleared the doubt, right? How do you become the Mariano of this deal? Like, how do you close this deal? How's it done for both of you?
Well, you know, it's every customer is different. I'll tell you that. So I've went into deals. You know, one thing we do is you always see like a manager will come in if the salesperson can't close a deal. A lot of people think that, oh, this is the closer. This is the guy. It's not the case. It's just sometimes it's a different face. I don't know if that's the same thing. If you guys had that in the financial industry, if somebody else would follow up and just touch base. Sometimes somebody's willing to tell me something that they just didn't want to say to the salesperson.
Mm-hmm.
And they may say, you know what, this is really what I wanted to be. So we meet every customer that comes in if they're not able to close it. And like I said, if you really look out for the person, that's going to increase your chances of helping the customer and be able to close deals more often. Like you said, 90% of the time it is price and you have to work the numbers. You have to take care of people. So
yeah, and I think it depends on your personality too.
Big time.
So you can't be what you're not. And you kind of have to play to your strength. Some people are naturally just really aggressive people, right? That's not me. I'm more of a laid back person. Mm-hmm. So my selling style is passive. But it's very important that at some point you have to close.
Yeah.
You can't just string things out forever because it'll fall apart. So knowing when to close is a very delicate thing. Like for me personally, my sales process is a 2-meeting process, right? The first meeting is just, I gather information, the second meeting I present, and then at the end of the second meeting, there's a close at that point, right? Everybody's different. Some people like to close in the first meeting. To me, that's too aggressive, right? Mm-hmm. Some people stretch it out to 3 meetings. To me, that takes too long. So I think mastering your sales process for yourself is important in knowing who you are as a person. Me personally, I'm not, like I said, I would strongly recommend not to be pushy. But some people like that, right? It's like our relationship. Some people like people that are aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like people that are laid back. You really, you know, you kind of, and also every client isn't for you. That's something that's important as well, right?
Oh, yeah.
You can't chase money because ultimately a bad client is not worth the money that you're going to get. Like,
that's true.
It's not worth it in the long run because they're going to be calling you, they're going to be hounding you, and the stress, and just even the service work that it may take, you might make a little bit of money, but it's going to cost you way more time. So I tell people all the time, the first meeting that I have with people, I say, this is for me to fill you out, to see if you're a good fit for me, and for you to see if I'm a good fit for you. I'm not trying to get every single person that walks into my door. When you take that approach, another psychological trick here. There's a reason why the pretty girl or the handsome guy, whatever, they always have people lined up to date them. Reason being is because they're hard to get. Psychologically, once you actually get the girl, it's not the same. The girl that constantly rejects you, we chase after that. Mm-hmm. The girl that we can easily get, we look right past. The same thing with sales. I never forget Bernie Madoff. When I watched his movie and I read some stuff, and they were saying that when he became so big to get money, like, he would turn people down. Like, they would say, like, they were begging.
They wanted to work with him.
Yeah, because now, if he's approaching it like, give me your money, I need your money, they're looking at it like, no. Psychologically, he's like, I don't need your money. When somebody tells you that they don't need you, you want them more.
You want them more.
Mm.
So that's another trick for salespeople to understand as well. You have to kind of position yourself to make it seem like you're the real asset. Your clients need you more than you need your clients.
Well, that comes to inventory also. So you'll see that with certain vehicles, like let's say the G-Wagon, the big SUV, the Mercedes-Benz. People are paying top dollar for that car because you just can't get it. And you got people calling around the dealership saying, hey, do you have this car in stock? Whatever it is, I'm going to pay it because I want that particular car. So it does drive the market.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So that's some hacks. That's some psychological hacks right there.
You definitely got to. And you know, it's funny, you mentioned not being pushy, but to that point, I'm not a pushy type of person. I think you guys could see that. I'm pretty easygoing. But sometimes you need to nudge people, right? I can't tell you how many times the person was, everything was perfect. The car, the color, the price, the equipment, the dealership, everything was just right. And they just were still hesitant. It's like this fear of commitment, right? And sometimes you just have to let people know, say, listen, it's okay to say yes. And I'm telling you, I can't tell you how many people I've asked people, said, let me ask you a question. If you said yes right now, what would happen? And they go, nothing. I'd have the car. I'm like, would you be comfortable with the monthly payment? Yeah. Would you be happy with the monthly? Would you be making life-changing decisions over that monthly payment? They go, no. I'd have a brand new car. And I go, so let's do it. And they go, okay.
Here's the keys.
They go, okay. Mm-hmm. And they're surprised. They're like, you know what? I just bought a car. And I'm telling you, those are the happiest people in the world because sometimes they need that little nudge, not pressure, but nudge to say yes.
That's true. The fact that you just said that, it made me think of, like, I've taken a few people, like, you know, that I become the person that, oh, you must know about cars. And when I'm like, yo, this deal is done, here to come the keys. And they're like, for real? I'm like, yeah, you just got a new car. Like, for real? Like,
We're psychologically trained to be fearful.
Yeah.
Ever since we're kids, we're like told not to talk to strangers. Mm. And then, like, we, you know, we go to school all day. And then it's like, so we're not used. Very few people like me, I'll do anything. I don't really care. Make a lot of bad decisions that way, but sometimes it works out. But for the most part, people are very scared. That's another thing as a salesman, you need to understand that people are scared to do anything. Nobody wants to do anything. Mm-hmm. They want to just stay in their comfort zone and do what they've been doing. Anytime somebody does something that they haven't done or something that's uncomfortable, it takes a lot of courage to do that.
Yeah, we've been saying that. Like, your life starts when you're comforted.
So, but there's a thing. People will do business more so with people that they like and feel comfortable with than somebody that's knowledgeable. That's another mistake that people make. A lot of times people lead with knowledge and information. They have all these facts and nobody understands what you're talking about. Nobody cares what you're talking about. And B, they don't care. People will make bad decisions based off of people that they like. Look at love. People do it all the time in relationships. Mm-hmm. So the key is to get somebody to like you. Once they like you, you pretty much you do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Now, you can't abuse that power because you can't abuse it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more important to work on those skills than it is, of course, you have to have knowledge. But if somebody likes you, they buy into you as a person, now the rest you can kind of just, it goes in any direction you want it to go in.
Yeah. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
Exactly.
That's plain and simple.
And it's all about relationships. Yeah,
that's true.
So, all right. Well, that was a lot.
Yeah, man.
That was a lot. We touched on a lot of different topics.
No pads were out.
goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.